This planet, which really isn't a planet, makes a seamless combination of cyberpunk dystopia as well as magical artifacts that no one really knows what they do or how they operate, even hundreds of years after the gap. Today we're going to be talking about Apostae. Let's get into it. As I mentioned at the beginning, Apostae is not actually a planet, in the sense that it resembles a planet, but it has no other properties of planets. It is literally a rock in space. There is no atmosphere on this planet. The only time the surface changes is when there is some sort of earthquake or a meteor hits the planet, which does happen from time to time. This planet is covered in craters, in deep gorges, deep canyons with glass along the bottom. Some of the largest chasms on this planet span hundreds of miles in length and about 40 miles deep. What's also interesting is that pre-gap, these chasms, these deep rifts within the planet, they did not exist. At least they're never mentioned in pre-gap history. And some archaeological teams that have investigated this planet, which is difficult to do, they place these chasms and these cliffs at only about 8 to 12 centuries old. The drow that live on this planet, it's also their home planet, by the way, they believe that this is the remnants or some leftovers of just a big weapons test, because that's what they do now. Another popular theory is that Apostae is just literally falling apart. Now, while the surface does not have atmosphere, there are many cave systems within the planet that do have atmosphere. You can breathe when you're inside of them. And these caves and caverns, they run through the entire planet all the way to the core. Some hold ancient machines, some hold alien life forms that should probably be left sleeping. Many are just simply empty. Within this vast planetary cave network system, try to say that a few times fast, there are many rooms that are filled with ancient weapons, and this is what drives a lot of the industry on Apostae. There is one major city on this planet. It is controlled by the drow, and it also has one of the only known entrances to get inside the planet. This city is called Night Arch, and I will talk about that later. There are several other entrances into the planet, but they have sealed doors in front of them that nobody has been able to get into. They are nigh indestructible, and when you're on a planet of weapons producers, that's saying something. To be honest, most of this planet has gone completely unexplored, like the cave system on the inside of it. It's hardly mapped at all. There are some chambers in pre-gap history that are known about but have not been found. These would be the Chamber of Life and the World Heart. They were known to exist before the gap, just have never been found. The Chamber of Life is supposed to be a dome-shaped cavern about a mile tall. It is rumored to be located somewhere halfway between the planet's core and the surface, and at the center of the chamber there is supposed to be a silver obelisk that thrums with a sort of energy or life. A race that has not been seen since before the gap, called the Illy, they used to make a pilgrimage to this particular chamber. The importance of this chamber to the Illy was that it was used as a type of birthing ceremony. They also viewed the Chamber of Life as integral to their survival. The fact that it is lost and they are no longer able to be found, maybe there's some truth to that. The World Heart is supposed to be at the center of Apostae. It is also rumored that a very powerful, advanced AI controls a lot of the planet to keep it habitable. As the surface of the planet is currently not livable for anything that needs to breathe, maybe this AI has been shut down. The World Heart was also tied to the Illy and how they viewed the planet's future. The Illy believed that the AI could control the planet. They also believed that this AI could move the planet like a ship. If the AI decided that it was no longer time to orbit the sun, then it would just move. Old Illy legends talk about a chosen one who would come and open the vault, because the World Heart was secured by very strong blast doors as well as ancient Illy guardians. And the one who was able to do this would take the planet back to a place of its prosperity where it could flourish again. The history books talk about the Illy as being natives of Apostae. They were quite unique, and no other race has shared any of their common traits. With the history of the drow and their enslavement of other races, specifically the orcs, or maybe they were simply bred out. What we do know is that since the gap, the Illy have not been seen. However, the Astrozoans do share some similar DNA to what has been found in Illy records. So the Astrozoans could be descendants of this Illy line. Since the end of the gap, Apostae has been in Drow control. How and why the Drow arrived on Apostae is, again, not known. With the amount of demonic temples that are set up for various worship, it is believed that some demonic presence or some demonic being led the Drow to this place. And this would have happened shortly before Galorion's disappearance. Now, there are many houses on Apostae. Each house is out for itself. They want to further their own territory. They want to expand their corporate influence. And they will do almost anything to have this happen. So their government doesn't really play together very well in the sandbox. But again, when you're dealing with outsiders, specifically the Pact Worlds, they do put on a unified front. Not that they're really invited to many of the Pact World gatherings. Almost all of the houses on Apostae, they deal in some form of weaponry. That's what the Drow do now. They are intergalactic arms dealers. But they didn't engineer the weapons themselves. They found good tech, powerful tech that they didn't understand, reverse engineered it, and weaponized it in typical Drow fashion. It also had to happen this way because Apostae, there is no natural resources on here unless you like rock and glass. So the only way you find new tech is by going into the core of the planet, finding a weapons cache, and taking it back to your house, and hopefully you don't get ganked along the way. Because these houses do sell to the highest bidder, and sometimes that highest bidder is the Pact Worlds, their seat on the council has never actually been challenged because the Pact Worlds, they need guns. There's a lot of illegal things that go on this planet. The stewards don't generally show up here unless something really bad happened. But for the most part, the Pact Worlds just kind of turns a blind eye to all the shady stuff that happens here. The most powerful house on Apostae is known as Zyzerer. This house controls Night Arch. They are the largest network of arms dealers on Apostae, and they have the widest selection of weaponry. Seobarn Zyzerer is basically your external representative. If you want to mass purchase weapons, you're probably going to be talking to this guy. He is very smart. He's a master manipulator as well as a brilliant scientist. And despite the fact that he is a male in Drow society, he has reached very high ranks. Although he is very dangerous, he is very reliable, and he hasn't betrayed the trust of his clients, some of whom are the Starfinder Society. Lady Vilith Zyzerer is more of a rebel when it comes to this particular family. She operates on the fringes of a family which already operates on the fringes of civilized society. Life on Apostae is very, very hard. You have to earn your keep. Literally. One of the best, most lucrative ways to make money on Apostae is to join the adventuring societies who go into the planet, find technology, and sell it back to one of the major houses. This also means that you generally have a short lifespan, because those caves are very, very dangerous. This also means that while a Drow can live very long in years, generally they tend to not live as long on Apostae. If you are able to survive, you can have quite a lavish lifestyle. If you're not lucky enough to be one of those expeditioners, then unfortunately you're going to be one of the lower caste in society, and you will never really advance past that. Any benefits that you reap, they would be taxed by your supervisor. God forbid you're unemployed, because then, I mean, you are given housing, but it's generally in the trash heap. It's not nice. And if you're living in the trash heap, there is no protection from you from the roving gangs and the warlords. One notable site on Apostae is the Camp of Black Door. This is literally a campsite around a door. It's a black door, creative naming process there. It is believed that this door will grant access to the inside of the planet, simply because it looks exactly the same as the one that's in Night Arch, except no one's been able to get through it. Teleportation just doesn't work, it rebounds you. Turning incorporeal doesn't work, you can't go through it. And of course, using explosives, that doesn't work. However, it still remains a very popular site for scientists, mages, technomancers, anyone who wants to try and test a theory, they will come down here and they will try to open this door. A lot of these experiments by these teams result in injuries to those same teams. So House Rycast has set up a hospital here. And they do have some of the finest doctors that you can find on Apostate, maybe even in the Pact Worlds, stationed here. However, it's not free, so you better have them credits ready. If you don't have the credits, and you still need the medical attention, you will still get it. However, you will now have indentured servitude to the Drow. Kaya Rycast is the lead administrator for the hospital at the Black Door site. She was sent here as punishment about 50 years ago, but she's hoping to capitalize on the punishment by being there when the door is finally opened. She has also amassed her own private army here. Now, the Blood Barracks, this is a multi-family operation site. This is not only a medical facility and a demonic temple, it is also a mercenary station. It is jointly managed by House Arabani, Brevac, Rycast, and Zizer'er. This is also the main base for the Blood Army, which is a private army made up of mostly half-orcs with a few of their drow supervisors. This is the private military defense force for Night Arch. They are considered an elite fighting force. They have definitely stolen technology to not only advance their armor, but also their weapons. They also have the Blood Armada, which is a space navy that they have stolen from rogue ships from Sovereign. The Blood Army, while stationed at the Blood Barracks, they are never mobilized unless a severe threat presents itself to Night Arch or to Apostate. And I know you're thinking it, but this army has never tried to take control of Night Arch either. The Blood Barracks does do military training exercises with other drow. You can only do this if you're on the approved list. Same with the medical facilities found here. You only get to use them if you are approved. There is also a widely known secret about this particular place. Underneath the Blood Barracks, there are very many ancient demonic temples here. And like I said, it's not a well-kept secret. Many people know that they exist. What is kept secret is the exact type of rituals that happen here. There are rumors about kidnappings and those particular people being used as blood sacrifices in these temples. The Pact World's investigators have never been able to prove anything, and any deaths that happen in the local area are explained as medical mishaps. The Breaklands are a section of mountain range with very jagged peaks. This is home to many of the runaway house slaves. Drow are accepted here, lots of orcs are accepted here, lots of pirates and smugglers do a lot of dealings here as well. This particular shape of mountain range is a little different in the sense that it isn't a natural formation. It is believed that this was formed by some sort of explosion, be that from a weapons test or a meteor. Some sections of this area are large enough that you could fit a spaceship in it. Because the material that makes up the Brokenlands is so dense, you can't get a scanner through it, you can't get readings through it. So it has been known to hide a pirate ship or two before. Another set of doors like the Black Door is called the Iron Doors. Again, this is a massive set of double-sided doors that no one has been able to open. They are embedded into the planet, and it's believed that if you can get into it, you can go deep into the planet's core. And much like the Black Door, no one has been able to get inside of these ones either. Now these doors, they are a mile wide and a mile long. But unlike some of the other sites, there is numerous access hatches along the doors, which again, have not been opened. Scanners have been able to see a little bit on the other side. What they pick up though is an ever-changing landscape. Whatever's behind the door is always shifting, it's always altering. It has revealed some insights to the planet and mechanical traps, but efforts to get inside this particular door are waning as this one has a higher injury count and death toll than the Black Door. House Brevac has remained in this area and set up a permanent camp around the door. They are committed to the cause of opening this door, although they're not throwing everything they have at it. While House Brevac does own the area around the Iron Door, they have used the opportunity to turn it into kind of a no man's land of joint effort. Here, they do play well with some of the other houses, and they do have some joint operations for scientific research. If there is conflict with House Brevac or any of the other houses, they typically do not have these altercations at the Iron Door. It's usually done somewhere else. This leaves us with Night Arch. This is the largest and most powerful city on the planet. Night Arch is also a sealed city. All of its buildings, all of the houses, there's domes, And while the entire city is not under one dome, anything that is above the surface is in some kind of environmental protection. Now, in the center of the city, there is the Night Arch Gate, and in the southernmost part of the city, there is the Great Door, is the one that allows you to go inside the planet. It should be noted, both sites are very heavily guarded, and there is a very large starport here as well, being that this is really the only entrance for non-drow to get on planet. This is where you come. Business in Night Arch is very good. Guns, weapons, any kind of service that you can want, starship parts, poisons. If it's legal, illegal, immoral, it's found here. All of the city's businesses, their buildings, the towers, they have breathable air, comfortable temperatures, and artificial gravity so that you can keep your feet on the floor. Some of the largest and the wealthiest drow houses, they will have plants and their own generators in the buildings, but they will be sealed off so that, you know, the poor people can't have them. If you're not rich enough or wealthy enough to have your own water or power supply, then you have to buy it from House Zizerer. And they charge just a small fee from knowing that they are the only game in town that you can get this from. If you are a competitor to House Zizerer, they can't take your land from you, but they can turn off your air and force you in and out of your dwelling in basically an environmental suit. If you're really poor, you're gonna live in the slums in these areas. Here you have gas leaks, coolant leaks. This is just not a pleasant place to be. And if you're like really poor, then you will live in one of the cavern burrows. You don't even get to live in the city, you just live in the planet somewhere. These are the cheapest places to live, but they are also the most dangerous place to live. Most of the residents that live in the cavern burrows are going to be your half-orcs, or full-orcs, or humans, basically anybody who is a slave to the houses. Even here, air can still be turned off, and communities will typically gather together or pool resources together to keep the air taps on. Lots of folks are also pulled from here for various medical experiments, as well as genetic modification. Because it's all experimental, it doesn't usually work out for the research subject. Finally, the Night Arch Gate, which I've been hinting to and alluding to for this entire video, is probably one of the most unique places on Apostate. It has existed long before the gap, but occasionally, a portal will open at this gate. Every landscape that appears behind this portal is foreign, and you can look through it. It's believed that whatever is on the other side can also look back at you, but whatever has shown up on the other side of this portal, it's never the same thing twice. Many expedition crews are just dying to get through and see what's on the other side. But the problem with this is, when your crew is there waiting for the gate to open, you have to be able to make a split-second decision whether or not this is going to be the right place for you, because no one knows when it opens, and no one knows what you're going to be walking into. Needless to say, many expedition teams have never been heard from again. All attempts to try to control the portal have failed. While this structure does exist, it is a larger version of the Elf Gates that can be found on Castrovel. Thank you to all of my patrons for your ongoing support. My name's Nathaniel. This has been The Maple Table. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.